A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
It's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Mangel, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal.
Hello and welcome to the Glovers Cast. I'm Ian and we're kicking off tonight's episode of the Glovers Cast with the quiz. So I'm going to throw it to Dave. Dave's going to do the introductions. It's all you, Coatsy. Take it away.
Here we go. I feel like I should be doing, what's that guy called? The Let's Get Ready to Rumble guy?
Michael Buffer.
Michael Buffer. I feel like I should be doing that. You know, went in the blue corner. It's Ian. Yeah. Ian, our reigning champion. And then in the red corner, the talk of Taunton, that Mr. Blackbird himself, Mr. Andrew Cleave. Cleavo, how are you? Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Nice to finally make my long-awaited debut.
Well, there you go. You've been bottling it for such a long time.
We've had Andy Craig,
we've had Chris Fox, we've had all of them, you know, all of them there, and they keep saying, get Cleavo on, and you're like, oh, I'm not quite sure, but now you've stepped up to the mark, haven't you?
He's taken the bait.
Save the best to last.
Last? Well,
are you going to win? And he's going to win and retire. Is that how this is going to go?
That's it. Go out on top.
I doubt it somehow.
All right, come on. Don't write yourself off straight away. Right. Okay. I'll give you the rules of the game because there's got to be someone who hasn't heard this before. So the name of the game is Yeovil Town, Who Am I? I will read out a little potted history I've drafted of three former Yeovil Town players. And the first person to get the answer right obviously wins that point, best of three. If you get an answer wrong, I will keep you out for the next paragraph that I have to read before I call you back in. Ian knows the rules. Cleavo, do you understand the rules?
Yeah, pretty simple, really. I would expect Mr. Perkins to.
Hey, now come on, don't go all FA Cup underdog on us. It's not befitting of you.
It's better to be pessimistic. It's better to be a pessimist, and then anything better that happens is a bonus thing.
There you go. Spoken like a true Yeovil Town supporter. Right. Okay, here we go then with the first one. I was born in Barnsley in October 1976, and my youth career began at Sheffield Wednesday, where I signed at the age of 17. Despite playing in the club's youth setup, I did not make a first team appearance and joined Scunthorpe United following my...
Richard Hines?
Not Richard Hines, Cleavo. Not Richard Hines. No, so you're out until I call you back in. Signed for Scunthorpe United following my release from Hillsborough in the summer of 1996. I made only four appearances there, but I did score my first professional goal in a 3-2 defeat at Hereford United, which would be the first of 40 goals I would score in my career as a centre forward. Clevo, you're back in. Following my release from Scunthorpe at the end of the 96-97 season, I had similarly unsuccessful spells at Chesterfield before dropping into non-league, where I played for Gainsborough Trinity, Grantham Town, but it was at Worksop Town that I found my shooting boots, scoring 40 times in a season and a half, including six in a 12-0 thrashing of Frickley Athletic. That was enough to earn me a move back to the Football League with Darlington in March 2001 and scored my debut for them in a 2-0 win at Carlisle. However, that would be my only goal for the Quakers. And in January 2002, I moved to Stevenage, again in the conference, for £10,000. I managed to get on
Kirk
target.
Jackson.
Oh,
Kirk Jackson is the right answer.
Don't know where Richard Hines came from, but
it's Scunthorpe. When it's Scunthorpe connection,
it was the Sheffield Wednesday in Scunthorpe.
There you go. There you go. And I hadn't realised that. Kirk Jackson scored two braces against us for Stevenage in the season when we won the trophy. In the season when we won the trophy, he did at their place. And then in the season, at our place, he scored in the season when we won the trophy. And then the following season, because he didn't join us until December.
Yeah.
Of that championship winning season. But then he scored some goals, didn't he? 19 goals in half a season.
He was one of my favourite players back in the day, Kirk Jackson.
Was he?
Him and Carl Warford.
Yeah. I saw him and Skivo in the, it used to be Brewster's, the Airfield Tavern. We were out for a meal at the Airfield Tavern and him and Kirk Jackson were having a meal too.
Greatest night of your life.
It was when I was like however old I was, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Your hero.
Right, are you ready for the next one? 1-0
yes.
to Perkins. Okay.
I did warn you.
Here we go. I was born in Hartlepool in February 1993. And as a 17-year-old, I was awarded a four-year professional contract at Middlesbrough. I became captain of the under-21 side at the Riverside. But my first taste of first-team football came at Hewis Park.
Jonathan Grounds?
Daffy McDowell.
Well, I'm going to give that one to Clevo because it wasn't Jonathan Grounds, but it was Matt Dolan.
Yes! Get in.
There we go. Clevo's lost it. His limbs. Absolute limbs. Right. So 1-0. Okay, this is the decider.
Whitewash avoided.
You might win, Clevo, don't you?
Exactly. There's still a chance.
I doubt it. I'm happy I've got one.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, exactly right.
Whoa,
okay, so here's the decider. Hey, no, we haven't got Ben tonight, so we don't need the singing. We don't need you bringing the singing either. Right, here's the third
one. Why not? A bit of Bon Jovi.
I was born in Forest Gate, East London, in September 1989 and began my career not far from home, joining West Ham United as a 13-year-old. I progressed through the youth ranks, signing a professional contract in 2008, and I was a regular in the club's reserves, including a number of appearances as captain. In January 2008, I was loaned to Weymouth for the 2007-08 season. But a change of manager meant my stay on the South Coast lasted just two matches. I had further loans at MK Dons, Scunthorpe and Plymouth and was part of Argyle's side, which was relegated to League One. Despite that, I arrived at Home Park on a permanent deal following my release by West Ham and played 28 times in the centre of defence that season, picking up two red cards as Argyle plunged into administration and I was free to leave in the summer of 2011. That is when I arrived at Hewis Park. Terry Skiverton brought me in and gave me my debut in a 2-0 defeat at Brentford on the opening day of that season. I scored my first goal in a 2-2 draw at home to Leighton Orient and then the winner in a 1-0 win at Hartlepool in the November 2011.
Bonzingala?
Bonzingala is the right answer, Clevo.
There you go.
He's a winner. We have a new champion. Well, there you go. We'll have to dub in some applause there, I think. But Clevo. You have defeated the Perkins, so congratulations. But that does mean that you're going to have to keep your Thursdays clear now. Honestly, if you could see the look of shock on Andy Cleve's face now, he can't believe it. He just can't believe it. So you're going to have to keep your Tuesdays clear, Clevo, because we're going to need you back for further quizzes. Thursdays, yeah, not Tuesdays. Keep your clues Tuesdays clear as well if you want, but yeah.
Well, next Tuesday we'll be suffering again, won't we? We're at Ewish Park again. So,
well,
for another say. For what another a snooze fest.
There you go. The club will go. Be loving you selling tickets for him. Right on, Clevo. Well, thanks for coming on. Congratulations. We'll speak to you next Thursday.
Well done, Clevo.
Absolutely. Yeah, nice to see you. Speak to you, chaps. Have a good one. Cheers.
And cheers.
Mate. Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Right, we're back. I'm over it. I've gone and had a little cry.
There is some serious tears. Tears before bedtime, folks. Well done, Clevo.
Yeah, Clevo's undersold himself before this, hasn't he?
There you go. He can't now. You see, he's like an FA Cup giant killing. They're going to be looking out for him in the next round. We're going to have to find someone to face him, aren't we?
Yeah, we will. We will. We played a bit of football this week, actually. Well, we tried.
I was going to say, not what I heard. Yeah.
On Tuesday night. A cold night at Ewish Park. We got some questions that we'll go through later, but let's have a small chat about it because the questions will really dive into it, I would have thought.
Well, you tell me, you were there. I was listening in on the radio with Lawson Diaz, and I think I put on my Twitter that game will be summarised by Lawson Diaz going, constantly through the game. You heard it, and it was like, go on. Go on, Matty. Go on, Chaz. Go on. Yeah. And then, like that. So, yeah, it was frustrated exhalations will be my memory of that game.
Was he booing at the end? Or
I didn't hear him booing. No.
Okay.
He's a very polite young man, though, isn't he? Yeah, very well-spoken young man.
Yeah, no, it was a...
Were you booing?
No. No, I'm not at that stage.
No, too busy throwing things instead. Yeah. Ripping seats up.
Well, it's too busy writing a match report.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we got that on pretty swiftly.
My thumbs were very warm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rubbish game. It was not the most entertaining. I think, you know, a lot of the questions will cover this ground, but we were just no good going forward, really. We knew that. We knew that was what we were like going into the season, that we were going to be pretty strong defensively and not so... you know, getting our attack in place or without as the season goes along. But yeah, it was pretty shambolic.
Defensively, I know it was mentioned in the manager's press conference today about the level of possession that we enjoyed, which again, as you say, is what we were told at the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, we were fine. They had a couple of chances, but nothing clear cut. I don't think Grant Smith had much to do, really, other than the odd cross here and there. It was a pretty good defensive performance. Obviously, they made the changes and brought Robinson in, which I was surprised at that. I thought, Barnett, you know, don't change a defence that seems to be doing all right. I thought Barnett's done nothing wrong, so for him to lose his place was unfair, I thought. But other than that, yeah, it was defensively sound, but again, it's that classic no midfielders breaking the lines, no real chances. I think Wakefield on the left and Knowles on the right was sort of different than it has been. But yeah, just we didn't create anything. We created nothing clear cut. It was, you know, hopeful crosses that Quigley got his noggin on. But other than that, it was a hard watch.
Ben Seymour. On loan from Exeter, did you get to see much of him? Played 60-odd games in here.
I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah. Ben's not here, but he is in spirit, isn't he? Yeah.
I thought he looked promising. He reminded me a lot of, like, you know, how Gary Johnson always had a striker who hounded things down and chased the ball. He's got that about him. He's quick. He's different from Yusuf. Very different from Quigley, a different option for us up front. Obviously, he needs games. The manager seemed to indicate afterwards that he'd been trying to get him for quite a while, so perhaps he'll have a longer time with us than just the month at the moment. There's something there that could be quite exciting, but again, it's all about service and serving these players.
I mean, I will say we are, but it sounds like that performance was exactly what I would say we are as a team. Like you've said there, we've got nothing particularly going forward if you take out Wakefield and Knowles, and we are, I still think, mid-table side. When you look at our squad, we are a mid-table side with very little going forward. And that's from what I heard on the radio and from what you're saying and what I've read everyone else saying, that's exactly what we look like. So we kind of are what I thought we were going to be. Now, whether that changes, whether, you know, we get Ben Seymour becomes the guiding light or not, and whether when we do get Little and Wilco and Reed and Morgan Williams and everyone else who's injured back then, whether things start to pick up there. But yeah, I have a feeling we're going to see a few more of these performances with the squad that we've got.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's pretty damning that we struggled to break down a 10-man semi-professional team.
10 men for 20 minutes, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, and going down to 10 men doesn't change games, really, does it?
No. except for when it's us. It did the week before for Bournemouth, didn't it? But yeah.
And the first game of the season. Funny how it affects us, but not other teams.
It does. Although saying that, and this is our segue, so our rivals this weekend, our opposition this weekend, Notts County, were obviously playing away at Halifax Town on Tuesday night as well. And they were 2-0 up. Alex Lacey had got a goal for him, I think. And then Tom Bradbury, it was, got sent off for Halifax. And they ended up losing 3-2. So I caught up with Pete from the Magpie Circle, Notts County podcast, to find out what we can expect from the Jekyll and Hyde that is Notts County. So hello, yes, this is Dave, and I am joined by Paul from the Magpie Circle, a Notts County podcast. Paul, first of all, welcome to the Glovers cast.
Welcome indeed, looking forward to it, and I'm not quite sure, in the light of our recent results, exactly how many Notts fans will be travelling down on Saturday, but I shall be there.
You'll be there. Good man. Yes, so putting some money into our pockets, that's always much appreciated. So, I suppose that's a very good place for us to start, isn't it? Because we have been grumbling about our 0-0 draw with Maidenhead in the week. But tell us about what happened to Notts County. You're away at Halifax on Tuesday night, and you were 2-0 up, and they were down to 10 men. So it all probably looked quite good then, didn't it? What happened after?
I think the wheels well and truly fell off. You used the adjective grumbling for Yeovil fans. I think it's rather stronger than grumbling at the moment among our Notts fraternity and brethren. I think that the defeat, in the manner that it came on Tuesday night at Halifax, when we were leading 2-0, Halifax were reduced to 10 men, and we ended up losing 3-2 in the 10th minute of stoppage time.
How do you get 10 minutes of stoppage time? What had happened there?
Ten men Halifax within the 10th minute of stoppage time. It's not normally a phrase that you use very often,
not,
is it?
It
is a result, I think, that probably many Notts fans would say is the worst for a decade and more. And it comes on the heels of a 4-1 home defeat at the hands of Woking on Saturday.
Yeah.
And after a 1-0 defeat at Altrincham 2 weeks ago. All this after Notts had made their best start to the season for over a decade. So it really has been Jekyll and Hyde at Notts for this season. But I think at the minute, a lot of discontent among the Notts fan base that we somehow managed to contrive to lose that game in quite bizarre and exceptional circumstances on Tuesday night.
And where is that frustration directed? Because I know we remember playing you at the end of last season. You just got a new manager in. Is he the brunt of the ire of Notts fans?
It's difficult, but probably like yourselves, as a supporter base, bear in mind Notts are one of the founder members of the Football League and have never not been in the Football League for their entire existence until three seasons ago. So clearly our fan base is disenchanted that we are in this division for one season. We're now in our third season. And this season looks to be by far the most competitive. We came down together, didn't we, I think?
We did,
The three seasons.
2019,
We have pursued a data ball, a money ball approach under our two Danish owners who rescued the club when the club was being relegated out of the Football League and was in a very parlous state. We have a head coach rather than a manager in Ian Birchnell. And there is quite a predicated style. If you like, it's a National League version of Manchester City, where we kick the ball 5 yards inside our own 6-yard box to two defenders and we try and play the ball all the way up the pitch. Which, when it works, which it did against Barnet on the opening day of the season when we won 5-0, and predominantly for the first 7 games, delivered as results, certainly made us unbeaten, works very well. There have, though, been one or two grumblings, and the manner of the past three defeats, in truth, has been very shocking. And a lot of people now are quite disenfranchised. So the club is in quite a state of flux. If I was to say to you that we were 3-0 up on Saturday, which I hope we are, with 15 minutes to go, I genuinely would be by no means assured that we would win the game. Right. There was clearly a psychological barrier as a result of 4 goals against Woking. 3 of those came.
You were ahead in that game against Woking, am I right?
Yeah. The blueprint of the way that we play our game is quite different to most other teams in the National League. So we play a high percentage possession game. It is, if you like, the debate is whether we convert that possession into chances and goals. Some teams have enjoyed success by going long against us and we've conceded from set pieces. It's very difficult to know which way it's going to go, because I'm sure if you're looking at Notts County from afar, you think, crikey, there are a couple of freak results. The supporter base, I think, at the minute is probably split down the middle. Some saying that we must persist with this method and this model. The other half are saying, ditch it because it is not going to work. And Notts County fans judge this season, as they did last season and the season before, by one single criteria, and that is getting promoted. Anything else is failure.
I wonder if I could just ask you about one player, Alex Lacey, who had a very success, well-remembered for a good spell he had at Yeovil Town. I noticed he was on the score sheet for you on Tuesday. How's he been? Is he a regular in your defence?
Yeah, when Alex is fit, he starts. Mm-hmm. He's had a couple of injury issues, and he was injured in pre-season, and he missed the opening few games. He's come back in. And I think our fan base would say very reliable, a good defender. As you say, he scored from across at the other end of the box. Neat player, tidy player. The Notts fans like him and would say that he has certainly been one of our better buys in the National League.
Okay. Another player that I'd like to ask you about is one who's now in Yeovil Town squad, Mitchell Rose, who's caused some controversy being signed for Yeovil. As I think we were discussing before he came on air, he's recently been convicted of an assault and therefore certainly divided opinions with regards to the Yeovil Town fan base as to whether we should have a player with that kind of background playing for something we've discussed on the Glover's Cast. I suppose that was all when he was playing for Notts County. That was all before that time. We haven't seen much of him as a player. He played 19 minutes in that fairly forgettable game against Maidenhead. What can you tell us about him as the player that you remember him at Notts County, Mitchell Rose?
Yeah, Mitch did pretty well for us. Mm-hmm. He played in a central midfield role, very combative, strong tackling, put a good shift in. And chipped in an occasional goal. And it's quite interesting because one of the players that he would have played alongside in that Notts County team is Michael Doyle, who is 40 years old. He became our assistant manager after retiring at the end of last season. However, in the light of what has recently happened at Notts with our three defeats on the bounce, there has been a breaking story post Halifax this week that Notts may be considering bringing Michael Doyle back into the fold. Whether that would be too early for Saturday, I don't know. But you potentially have Michael Doyle and Mitchell Rose lining up against each other, right, having been central midfield teammates for Notts County a couple of seasons ago.
Right. Now, Michael Doyle, as I remember, is, like I say, at 40 years old, but is a very experienced and canny operator, shall we say. So he knows how to get under the skin of people.
Yeah, and I think, certainly one way of putting it, I think with Michael, one of the criticisms of Notts with the last two defeats, because by and large we have conceded 7 goals in the last 20 minutes of our last two games, has been game management. Both of those fixtures, we were relatively in control going into the final 20 minutes, and there has been criticism, as I say, of our game management, running the clock down, playing the percentages, and Notts haven't managed the game well. Clearly, Michael Doyle, with his immense experience, he has a massive bank of natural fitness, and his know-how, his knowledge, slowing the game down, winning a free kick here and there, appears now to be back in the frame for potentially coming back into the team.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we'll be interested to see the team news when it comes out then, come around sometime around 2 o'clock on Saturday. So I suppose my last question, Paul, and this might be going back to your Jekyll and Hyde reference earlier. I mean, what can we as the Yeovil Town fans expect from Notts County on Saturday? And who are the players we should be looking out for in your side?
I think I genuinely have no idea what to expect on Saturday. I think after Woking, when they lost 4-1, you hoped for a response from Notts. And we kind of got that at Halifax for 70 minutes. Winning, Halifax reduced to 10 men, see the game out, job done, bounce back after a heavy home defeat. But the manner of defeat in those last 20 minutes, leaking 3 goals and losing to 10 men, has clearly undone all of that 70 minutes of good work. What you want to see is a Notts team eager to put it right on Saturday at the expense of Yeovil. There's clearly going to be a bit of an element of a psychological block, I would suspect, going into the closing stages of the game, depending what the score is. In terms of players to watch out for, there are two players, very skillful, score goals, who have captured a lot of attention. Kel Roberts, who was released by Newcastle. And to be honest with you, he had one very bad injury last season. He looks a cut above the rest, or 99% of the rest of the National League. Huge natural ability, dropped the shoulder. We've christened him the Geordie Messi. And he is of a not
no pressure
dissimilar
there,
build.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's of a not dissimilar build, and he has a wand of a left foot. Ruben Rodriguez, came to the fore when Ian Birchenough took over towards the end of last season. Talented Portuguese player, came from Dutch football, found it difficult when he first came to Notts, undoubtedly has a wealth of ability and has certainly flourished under Ian Birchenough. And those two, if you like, are very talented players on their day. I guess a player that goes a little bit below the radar will be Kyle Wootton, our centre forward. So a strong, strapping centre forward will get you 15 goals a season.
I say, good scoring record last season, as I recall.
Yes. And yeah, he goes a little bit under the radar because Cal and Ruben are the flair players, you know, but Kyle leads the line. I guess Torquay is not far away from you guys.
Not a million.
Aaron Namane, you may remember from Torquay last year. We have him at Notts now. Wasn't fully fit when he joined us. Played well in the last two games. Speed merchant down the wing. You've mentioned Alex Lacey. We have had got some defensive problems at the minute in that we are without Kyle Cameron, another player who we took from Torquay, and he has certainly been a miss. And a goalkeeper that you would know would be Sam Slocum, who was at Scunthorpe for many years. Sam has been injured and missed the last two or three games as well. So we have a lone keeper in from Sunderland. So I think that Ian would be hoping to get some of those players back for Saturday. Whether it's too early for them, we don't know right now. And as I say, you've got that kind of added little mystery ingredient of you may see a little bit of Michael Doyle having thought that his career had been ended finally at the age of 39, but now he's 40. He's back in the reckoning again.
There you go. Something you never thought of. And what a place to come back, eh? Yeovil on a October Saturday. But fantastic. Right, well, Paul, I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. Enjoy your trip down to Yeovil on Saturday. Obviously not too much if you can. Thanks very much again for your time. And hopefully we'll speak to you when we make the return. I think we're at Meadow Lane last game of the season, if I'm not mistaken. But
is it? Okay, that seems a long...
That's way a long away, way away, isn't it? Yeah, right. A long way away. Right, Paul, much appreciate your time. Take care.
My pleasure.
Okay, confession time. We're not playing Notts County on the final game of the season. For some reason, I thought we were this season. And then I thought, oh, no, it must have been last season. It wasn't. It was the season before that, the curtailed 2019-20 season, when we were due to play them on the last game of the season. So before anyone writes in and says I got it wrong, you're right, I did get it wrong. So I apologise.
Save your stamp.
Exactly, yeah. Save your stamp.
Colin.
Yeah, Colin will pick me up on it, I guarantee it. Or Jem will pick me up on it as well. One of these northerners, always picking fault with me. There's
something about you lot.
I know, yeah. Something about us. And you've got two of us on here, so bloody glutton for punishment. Talking of glutton for punishment.
Questions. Again. I was a bit cheeky and put out the questions before sleeping on it, putting the call out. And we had a load. It worked. They took the bait. The listeners took the bait. Glove actually asked, can we have a football-free edition? Talk about the weather or something. We can have a bit of a weather chat. How's the weather up there in Preston today?
Been nice today on Thursday. Yeah, I can say it's been a nice day. But I've been chucking it down for the few days beforehand.
I picked up Freddie with shorts on today because it was warm enough to do that in October.
You'll have to point out Freddie is your son. Exactly. For people who don't know, just picking up people called Freddie wearing shorts. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Not Flint off, no.
I'm sorry, Foxy. I'm not going to be answering your question.
What was his question?
Any further updates? Or any further developments with the ongoing takeover stuff.
That was a question particularly for you, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So I'm not even allowed to answer it. Not that I could if I wanted to, but yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Foxy. You'll have to wait for official channels before anything happens, I think. Okay, Paddy, the OG, Paddy Horsington. Any truth to the rumours of Twitter, rumours on Twitter of verbal clashes between players and fans? So there was a bit of a discussion on social media about this. I didn't actually see anything. I was on my way out of the ground and I heard someone say, oh, something's happened over there. And then I had a look round. At that point, I saw a player being pulled back by another player. There's a couple of comments on social media that...
Yeah, it didn't really identify. I heard that at least two, maybe three players had offered to meet people in the car park. So I'm sure Alex Bradley was one of them. And Joe Quigley, I think, was the names that I saw. Yeah. But as we know, Alex Bradley looks like probably a dozen other Yeovil Town players. So we could not positively ID him. But yeah, well, I was 250 miles away, so I can't see Paddy. But I'll take Ethan's view on it.
I didn't see. I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
Put the words out of my mouth there. Another similar sort of question from Phil Park. Was the manager right or wrong to tell a fan to shut your mouth when encouraged to sort it out after yet another overhit pass? Coatesy, what do you think about that sort of thing?
If he did say shut your mouth to someone for another overhit pass, then no, I don't think he was right to say it, because I think supporters are there. Yeah, they pay their money to be there, don't they? And I'm not saying I condone anyone abusing the manager, but if somebody shouted something in frustration at an overhit pass, then I think they're well within their rights to do so. What I will say, having listened to the manager after the game and listened to his press conference today, is I think the point that he was trying to make, and I do understand where he's coming from, is... And this is the way that he articulates it. If you shout at Carl Dickinson, Jimmy Smith, Charlie Lee, whatever, it's water off a duck's back, isn't it? But if you do it to Charlie Wakefield or Tom Knowles or any of the other young players that they're going to get, his view is that we should be, you know, supporting them. Now, I know what he's saying, and I do agree with what he's saying to a degree, but I think there will come a time, and you know, from what you've said about Tuesday's performance, that may well be that time when fans are entitled to voice their opinions. But there is also, you know, a part to play in supporters being supporters. I'm not saying we've all got to be happy clappers and we've all got to say everything's brilliant when it's not. But there has got to be a bit of, you know, support given, and you could use their age as a, you know, as a reason for wanting to do that. So. I think there's a logic in what he's saying, but equally, I wouldn't tell someone to shut the face or whatever it was he told them to
do. Yeah, I think there's probably an element of the heat of the moment as well. So that's probably part of the reason why he maybe reacted that way. I think when you look at the manager's press conference immediately after the match versus the manager's press conference a couple of days after the match before going into another match, it's a totally different individual.
Yeah. And he is a fiery character, isn't he? You know, works for him and works against him, I would imagine.
And he doesn't have the benefit of Rule 2 of the Glovers Cast.
Oh. And you haven't given these people, the good listeners of the Glovers Cast, you haven't given them the benefit of it. You were straight in there with the bait, weren't you?
It was good content. And actually, that question came on the 6th, I'll have you know.
All right, okay, right. Phil had slept on it already, had he?
As did Clevo, reigning quiz champion Clevo.
Still can't believe that. Bonds and Gala, can't believe he didn't get it. But
the uni years, Dave, the uni
there
years.
You go. The lost years. Ian Perkins, the lost years.
Yeah.
Forward by Bonds and Gala.
Is Darren Searle right to call for patience from supporters? Are you concerned by his post-match comments? So, I think I think he is right to call for patience. I think on the face of it, like, I think we all know that these players aren't going to, these players, it's going to be a big challenge for these players to get us to the playoffs and get us promoted, which is what we've been told during preseason, that we're building a squad for the playoffs and getting the resources to do that, which is just totally, it's totally disingenuous. So I think when all the noise around the signings and what we're doing is that this is what we're aiming for, and then the results and the performances don't match what we're aiming, what we've said we're aiming for, then yeah, he's got a call for patience. But it's that we, you know, we've said it over and over again, the over promise, under deliver.
And I think, in fairness to the manager, you know, the manager's being asked, what's your target for the season? I think probably, you know, unless you're, you know, Yeovil Town in the season, we were in the Championship, I think every manager's going to say that we want to be up near the top, aren't we? I don't think the manager, the owner is different, I think, but I don't think the manager's come out and said, oh, yeah, we're going for the playoffs, that's what we're going for. I think he probably said we want to do well. So I think he's a lot more realistic about what he's playing, you know, what he's playing with. Probably not dissimilar to, well, yours and my view, not Ben's view, obviously. But yeah, as to what we are this season and where we, what we can achieve.
And the part two was, are you concerned about his post-match comments? And I think it depends on what part you're talking about there, really. There were a few concerning things. I think his answer on Mitch Rose was a total swing and a miss.
Yeah.
I think he had plenty of time to compose an answer, a decent answer, you know, offering offering the lad redemption. There's lots of ways that that comment could have gone, but instead going for the, if there's anything untoward, I don't know about it. Is that, was that his words?
I think if we can Google South Yorkshire Police and find out about it, then I've known him for years, and if something untoward has happened in his life, I certainly haven't got any details about him.
And in Mitch Rose's introduction video,
he said about how the manager had been talking to him for months.
Not a good answer. And he probably wasn't happy to be asked that question. So fair play to Sheridan for asking that difficult question, because it is something that fans have been talking about and do have their concerns about. So
perfectly valid question, I thought. And as you say, not not a good answer. So that was concerning. I agree with you.
Question from Dan Johnson. Did Mitch Rose spend more time on the floor than on his feet? I can't remember, which probably says
everything.
A lot about him. I mean, I felt he didn't do anything wrong. I felt that he was quite a safe player. We all played quite safe. It was all very sideways. A stat padder is what I called him. Just
a what?
Stat padder.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Just, you know, passes completed 100%, but
right, yeah,
they were all backwards or sideways. There was no risks taken. Maybe he'll offer something. I think he's on a month-to-month contract, so who knows what the future holds, but I think, don't really know what to think about it. There's the whole, the cloud of the siding is still there. I want us to play well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's like we said at the beginning, didn't we? If he scores, I'm going to celebrate that goal, because it's a goal for the team that I support. Do I like the fact that he's playing for us based on his history? No, not really. I don't. Am I going to, you know, vote for him as man of the match? Am I going to hail him and say, you know, sing his name? No, I'm not. But ultimately he's a Yeovil, he's a Yeovil Town player, and if his performances make him make us play better, then yes, I'm going to be happy with that, because they make the team I support play better, but for no other reason other than that. I do think, like you said, there has been opportunities for both Mitchell Rose and the manager to say something about why, you know, why he's given him the opportunity. And I think you said when he signed him, I think we said I personally do think everyone deserves a second chance, and I don't think there's any doubt that in my mind that he deserves a second chance at some point. But I think there's a lot of water needs to go under the bridge before he's at that stage. And there's nothing I've really heard, maybe because he hasn't had the opportunity to say anything and the manager hasn't chosen to say anything when he did have the opportunity, that makes me think that, you know, anyone thinks that he did anything wrong. That's probably the thing that makes me more uncomfortable, is that it's all kind of, well, he hasn't, you know, I don't know anything about it. He's a, you know, he's a good lad. I've known him for years. Well, you know, based on what he's done, judge him on that, I think.
Yeah.
That's all we can judge him on until we hear something else from him. All we can judge him on that is that and his performance, where apparently he spent more time on his backside. But maybe it's unfair to judge him on spending his time on his backside as well.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Move along. Thoughts on the team for Saturday? This is from Louis B. He's listed a team: Smith, Moss, Hunt, Williams, Barnett, Knowles, Worthy, Simper, Wakefield, Quigley, Seymour.
14. We know Williams isn't going to be back. The manager said today that he's not going to be back for a couple of weeks. He did his knee in the Bridgewater Somerset Premier Cup game.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that means Staunton.
I think we'll go the same. He hasn't even got Staunton in this team. No Staunton and no Gorman in this team.
Really?
My only thing would be, I think I want to pair Staunton and Gorman together again. I mean, Staunton's doing good at centre back. He's playing fine, but
who'd you put at centre back if you don't have Staunton at centre back?
Dyer.
Yeah, he plays centre back. You're going to chuck him in against Kyle Wootton from Ruben Rodriguez.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I think that Staunton I think it will stay exactly as it was on Tuesday. I can't see it changing.
Paddy, another one, 2-for-1. How did the club spark the change in fortune in the late 90s? Are the ingredients there to do it again? Brackets, ever.
In the late 90s, I think we went from part-time football to full-time football, and there are a lot of teams in the conference at the time who were still part-time. In fact, I think you were saying off air that you were going through some old side space reports, and our old friends at Rustin and Diamonds, who are obviously the multi-millionaires of their time, I think them and us and maybe a few others were full-time, but everyone else was part-time. So when we went full-time, we had a massive advantage over part-time teams. So I think that probably sparked an advantage. That plus the fortunes of a certain John Goddard Watts, of founder of Screwfix. Ian's just saluting his Screwfix flag there. I think it was partly down to that. And have we got anyone with a checkbook like John Goddard Watts? He's willing to invest. If we have, I haven't seen it. Let's put it that way. The football, what they call football. Who are we borrowing all the money off? Sport England.
Sport England.
Yeah, they're our benefactor at the moment, I think.
Yeah. Well.
Problem is they want it back.
Are Yeovil Town the benefactor of the Sport England loans?
Well, yeah, maybe. Maybe we're propping up Sport England, aren't we?
Or maybe Sport England are propping up someone else. Anyway.
moving on.
Who can teach Dale Gorman to take a set piece? I mean, this is Dan Johnson. I think Dale Gorman, he had a couple of ropey ones, but I've been quite impressed with his delivery so far. So I think we were all a bit shit on Tuesday night. But before then, I think Gorman's deliveries have been good. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot from far out all the time, doesn't he? He loves a 35-yarder, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think a lot of his crosses are shots that are just going wide that look like crosses.
Is he the new Tom James?
Oh, let's hope not.
Yeah.
James Drew, would you do a manager swap with Torquay?
Good question. Would you?
I don't know.
Can I say I wouldn't? And so I tell you why I wouldn't. For me, when Gary Johnson left when he did, that was the right time for him to leave, for him as much as us. And I think at the time he said something about sometimes you look in the hat and there's no rabbit to pull out of it. I think Gary Johnson's time with Yeovil Town is done. I think don't get me wrong, he's a brilliant manager and he's a brilliant, at this level, I'd still say he's one of the best managers out there. He's obviously having a difficult time at Torquay. But I think his time with us is done. If he comes back and he does what he did the second time around again, I'm more than happy to eat my hat. I have got a hat up there, so I will. I'm more than happy to eat that.
That'd be an achievement, wouldn't it? Get us from non-league to the championship.
There you go. Come on, Gary, put your finger out. Call yourself a god.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, no, you are right. I don't want us to look to the past anymore, which is ironic because I've spent the last week
looking at the past
yeah, specifically in a lot of detail. But yeah, I think as a club, we need to try and move on and move forward with something totally new when that time comes.
Skivo it is then, right? Okay. Finlay Skiverton. Ben's not here, so I have to mention Finlay Skiverton at least.
I'm not sure about this question from Tuppence.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm already worried.
Why would people want cheese on chips, especially at an extra £2 and spelt wrong? No. I don't know if that's related to...
There was a picture which was on Twitter. I think Ryan Blatchford might have put it up of, I'm not sure where it was, but there was a little sign that said £2 and it said Chessy Chips, spelled C-H-E-Z-Z-Y, Chessy Chips. I don't know what Chessy Chips are, but...
Oh, brilliant.
But I wouldn't spend £2 in them, though.
No. If that was at Hewish Park, that's funny.
Yeah.
Craig McCann, how many Bovrils are too many Bovrils on a cold Tuesday night watching arguably the worst game in years at Hewish Park?
Can I be controversial? Bovril is just like drinking gravy, isn't it?
Would you rather have a Bisto?
No, I'm just not a fan of thin gravy.
I'm not sure you're being controversial.
No,
because
I think Craig will think I am.
Yeah, I mean, I don't tend to buy a hot drink at the football. If I did, it would probably be a coffee.
Yeah.
Or a hot chocolate.
Which are usually crap as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Sorry, Craig.
Adam Barrington, are we using the loan system too much? It's surely hard to build a stable team with players coming and going. And is the home form a concern? Hard to say on the loan system. I mean, we're a club
that's relied on the loan system a lot.
Throughout our history, certainly in the Football League, we've milked the loan system. I mean, some of our best players came through, you know, were loans. I think there's an element to using it and then signing those players permanently. Look at Tom Knowles, look at Max Hunt. He was a loan, wasn't he? Was Max Hunt on loan before we signed him?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And was Niles on loan as well? Or did we sign him straight away? Can't remember.
No, we signed Noel straight away, didn't we? Paddy Madden's the one I always remember, yeah.
Chris Cohen.
Yeah.
Lee Peltier.
Yeah,
I think we loaned him first as well.
Luke Ayling. Didn't we loan Luke Ayling from Arsenal?
No, I think we signed him on a free.
After. I thought we had him on maybe it was like a trial or something like that.
Not sure. I think there are benefits to it. I think when you've got the small budget we obviously have, then we need to use it. We're stuck with it, really, Adam. And is the home form a concern? Probably.
We lost at home to Kings Lynn when we had Worthington sent off. So you can kind of mitigate that one. We lost at home to Chesterfield, which I think we can all accept. We probably just lost to a much better team than Tuesday night. So I think probably with the exception of Tuesday night, you can probably make an argument for the other results. And the other home game, if you don't count the Somerset Premier Cup, which I don't think we do, was that nice win over Halifax, wasn't it? So yeah. I think that's all the home games that there's been. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it now, but if we, you know, we've got four home games coming up, haven't we? Four?
Yeah, four in a row.
Yeah, so ask us in four games if we're concerned. Yeah.
Or was that the first of four? That might have been the first of four.
Yeah.
I think there's something online. I'm sure I read it on either Twitter or Facebook that we haven't scored a goal in the Thatcher's End,
right,
since 2019 in front of fans. So in front of fans, there's been fans. All the goals have been
on the other end.
The other end.
Be honest with you, if we spend the whole season just scoring goals at the other end, I'll be quite happy with that, as long as we score goals.
As long as the other team doesn't score them.
Exactly, yeah, but, yeah.
At both ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Elliot Watts, is Darren Sile's game management off the mark with a couple of eyes emoji?
Yeah, what do you think? You saw it?
I don't know what else he could have done with the players he had at his disposal. He brought Sonny on to change it up and change the shape. He swapped Knowles around. He brought Barnett on at left midfield. Certainly with the players out through injury, I don't think he's got the difference makers in the squad.
No, I'd agree. Yeah, completely.
And
we're placing a lot of significance on players coming back, like Reece Murphy. That would be something, wouldn't it? Like Ruben Reed and Mark Little. Neither of them screen difference maker to me either. So unless I think we can make something. I mean, who have we got that could be a difference maker? Tom Knowles could be a difference maker. Charlie Wakefield's got potential to be a difference maker. I don't think we've seen that. Sonny could be, but not seen a huge amount of it so far. I don't know about Ben Seymour. Obviously, he comes with a decent reputation. But, yeah, we've only seen 60-odd minutes of him, so you can't really decide on that.
I mean, we'll have Yusuf back.
Yeah.
On Saturday, and I think when he's come on, he's looked a bit more of a threat because he's a bit of
bull of a man. Yeah, is how Darren Sarr described him, a bull of a man. And he does run into people. He certainly did run into people.
Yeah, let's just hope he can do it within the rules of the game. Barry Spiller, would Lawson Diath on one leg offer more creativity than the current midfield?
Well, if we're including Charlie Wakefield and Tom Knowles in the current midfield, which I think we are.
They are in the midfield, yeah.
Then I would say no.
Yeah.
But if we're taking the central midfield pairing, then I would have. I mean, I think we've all said if you could get Lawson Diaz playing 60% of the games, you'd sign him on. Because, you know, if he could play 100% of the games, he's far too good to be playing at National League level. So, yeah. Who knows? Hopefully he's fit. There we go. He would be a difference maker that we can sign in January, wouldn't he?
He would. He would be a difference maker. I think that's probably all the questions. I've got a question for you, Dave.
All right. I've got a question for Ben.
Ben's not here.
No, I know, but I've got a question for
him. All right. Okay. Do you want to ask your one for Ben?
No. Ask yours first.
Are you excited about our brilliant FA Cup draw against Weymouth?
Yeah. I listened to Josh Staunton talking in the pre-match interview, and he said something about if you're a fan and supporter and you can't get excited about playing Weymouth, what can you get excited about? I'll be honest with you, I'm not really that excited. I'm not really that excited. And I justify this by saying that for my considerable life, thank you, Dan Johnson, for saying I was player one out of the Squid Games, if anybody knows what that means. The very old man with a brain tumour, I think. So that's what he's calling me. Very old Korean man. So I've supported the club for a long time, but never in that time have Weymouth been anything more than an irrelevance. They've been so far below us that I've never even really given them any thought. The only possible exception was, I remember in the late 90s, we played them in the FA Trophy, drew down at their place when it was their cup final, and beat them at our place in a replay in the trophy. That is probably near to any kind of rivalries we can. I don't live in Yeovil, as everybody knows. I'm 250 miles away, northwest of England. So maybe my hatred of Weymouth is dampened down by that. But I can't get myself excited by it. Are you? Are you excited? Are you going to go out, you know, get the firm together?
Yeah,
the Manchester crew?
I'm excited about it because I've never experienced it. And that's, you know, that's sort of on par with your feelings of not caring about it because they were an irrelevance. As long as I've been supporting Yeovil, we've never played them, like that trophy game, but I didn't.
Yeah.
Don't think I went to that one. Can't remember.
The one game I would look forward to with Weymouth is the away game at their place, which I think is it Easter or around then sometimes? That would be a good game, I think. That's one that I would definitely try to get myself.
And do you know what? I think we have been starved of any atmosphere at Hewish Park for such a long time that part of the excitement is the fact that they might bring quite a lot of people and there'll be fans in the away end.
Yeah.
For the first time in, I don't know, how long.
I bet they will be on Saturday, Notts County. I bet they bring a few.
Yeah, they hopefully they will. But yeah, that's sort of, there's that element of anticipation just because it's going to be a bit of an atmosphere, might be a bit feisty, and I can't remember it.
There you go.
It certainly wasn't there. While we're talking about it, we've got there's a page. If you go onto the Gloverscast website and just click statistics, you might have to click it twice. I'm figuring out the drop downs. There's a page on there with all of our results, our history against Weymouth.
Right.
The last time we played them in the FA Cup, fourth qualifying round, was October the 24th, 1987.
Right.
We played them away. Do you want to guess the scorers? Or are you on the page looking at it right now?
Was it 1987?
Yeah.
But I think I remember that John McGinley got a couple, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Jerry Pearson?
Yeah, Pearson scored one, McGinley scored two. There you go. So any I'm trying to figure out one of the,
where is this? I'm looking for it on,
you click
on the results.
Nah, click statistics.
Yeah, oh, right, statistics, right, okay. Right. I'll look for it after. Not gonna make good radio, listen to me. No, figure my way around there. Yeah. Well, maybe we need to get Thorpe on, don't we? He'd have played in that game, I'd have thought, down there. Thorpe.
Yeah, I know who Thorpe is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's.
I spent many Saturdays with Thorpe.
Let's get him on before the cup game.
Well, there you go.
He'll fire us up, won't he?
I'm Thorpe sure he will.
Fire us up. He'll just scream, smash the seaside slime. That's what he'll say. Can I ask my question to Ben now?
Yeah,
I know he's not here.
Can I ask it
to him? And he can answer it on Sunday or Sunday for Monday. September's over, Ben. Tell us what you think. Come on, what do you think?
He's laid it down. There it is, Ben.
There you go.
When you're listening to this over your cereal, it's going to go everywhere.
Choking on his Cheerios. Yeah, that's what it'll be.
Choking on his fried up Spam.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a good note to leave on, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Cheers, mate.
Thanks a lot. Speak at the weekend.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him by the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil. Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Magnell, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead. Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.